Hey everyone, and welcome to episode 35 of Push My Buttons Games Podcast. This is Captain Platinum, and
I am Chaos.
Chaos.
I am your liver after a drink of tequila.
I just need to stop Chaos.
Oh my God.
Everyone,
we rewatched that trailer just to refresh in our minds of just I can't tell if Square Enix is being like you know, Yakuza wink wink, we're being, you know, we know this is ridiculous, but trust us, or if they're actually taking the piss.
So for those who don't know, we're talking about the Final Fantasy Origins. Was it Strangers of Paradise? Is that what they called it?
I don't know. It's some Nomura bullshit. Okay, so for everyone, like, this podcast, we've got like a pretty good weekly schedule down. You know, it's pretty much, and Luke's gonna hear this too, it's pretty much Jamie and my podcast. I mean, that's unfair. Luke has a new child, and Pat is generally working around this time.
Yeah.
But we're not going to get you any fresh E3 news. It's going to be pretty much our reactions.
Yeah, E3 was this week. I haven't had a chance to watch all of it yet. I watched Nintendo's Direct. I made sure to watch that. I heard, like I said, Microsoft supposedly kicked it out of the park. I just had not had a chance to sit down and watch those yet.
Yeah, and Luke and I have had, like, you know, last year when we did this, and I think we were recording the year before Push My Buttons kind of rebooted, but like, we have this tradition where we just kind of do an E3 episode. We just kind of talk about it. It's not really news, because by this time everyone already knows about it. And so we were talking over the chat, you know, let's do an E3 episode. But this week, obviously, Pat's not with us, Luke's not with us, so we're going to do the E3 episode hopefully next week. But I saw Strangers of Paradise, Final Fantasy Origins, and I'm just like, no, we're going to talk about this. Because this is the most ridiculous thing I have seen ever. No, not ever. I mean, this is...
I was going to say ever.
I don't know. It's hard. I mean, we just watched a guy in like an NSYNC like skin-tight t-shirt in a fantasy setting... punch a dude with armor, even though his two buddies also have a little bit more of like the fantasy style outfits, you know, like maybe like armor or just suits with way too many buckles on them. But he's got like a bouncer outfit, like a black V-neck and like a belt with jeans. And he just punches a guy with armor in the face. I don't know. Like, my favorite part of the whole thing was like, okay, so let me go into a little bit of history. You ready for a little bit of history?
Do it. I love your history.
So Final Fantasy, everyone knows the name. What a lot of people don't know, which I think this is kind of strange, during the PlayStation era, Square Enix, well, it was Squaresoft at the time, but Square Enix had this weird habit. They thought that people really liked anthology compilations. And There was Final Fantasy Anthology, which was Final Fantasy VI and Final Fantasy V, put together in a single game. It was really two discs, but they just sold them together. Then there was Final Fantasy, I forget what the other one was, but it was Chrono Trigger and Final Fantasy IV. I think it was called Final Fantasy Chronicles.
Yep. I think I have those downstairs in storage. Yeah, I think they did. Was it four and Chrono Trigger, and then four five and Chrono six Trigger, together,
and then five and six, together. And then they did another one called Final Fantasy Origins.
Yeah, one and two,
was,
right?
Which was one and two, and it had, if you're familiar with the old Final Fantasy characters, they had Firion as like the poster boy on the front, and so that's where this name comes from, Final Fantasy Origins. And what I'm not sure if there's a relationship with that. But obviously, they're doing the Final Fantasy 1 storyline. Maybe they're going to do a combination of the two. I don't know, because the game is actually titled Strangers of Paradise. Now, for Final Fantasy 1, have you ever played Final Fantasy 1?
Back in the day. It's been a long time.
Okay. Oh, this tequila's hitting me.
Oof. How many shots are you in?
So this cup right here has 3 shots. I'm already 4 shots in before that.
Wow.
Well, they're Patron shots.
Well, you already went through your 20 ones, huh?
Well, I had a free pour. Okay, so I had horchata with a free pour of rum, and then I had another cup of horchata with a free pour of jimador, and then I had 1, 2 Patron shots, so I was already 4 Patron shots in, and this cup has 3 in it. Just for those of you who drink alcohol, tequila is 0 calories. I mean, like, alcohol already gets turned into sugar, but whatever. Okay. So, spoilers for a game that's like 34 years old.
Right.
Okay. But in Final Fantasy 1, it's very bare bones story. You really just have to know what happens at the beginning and what happens at the end. The beginning, you take your group that you create on a character screen. You take them, you go to, I think it's Cornelia, and it's just, you know, your standard fantasy kingdom. And you're told that you are the Warriors of Light, and the king there wants you to go save his daughter, Princess Sarah, who is in a tower just a jaunt away, the damsel in distress, and she's being held there by the Dark Knight Garland. The tower is literally one room. There's no stairs or anything. You just walk straight through the room. And Garland is sitting there on the throne. And you have to beat Garland, and then you save Princess Sarah. And then you go on this quest to get the 4 crystals. You fight the Warriors of Darkness. And then, like, you know, just there isn't very many very much story, but at the very, very end, you get to the final boss, and it's this dude named Chaos. But you find out Chaos is Garland. And what happened was he put himself in a wibbly-wobbly, timey-wimey thing. And the wibbly wobbly timey wimey thing basically allowed him to kind of like train in an eternity, and he was able to become like a god that he called himself Chaos. Looks like Pat may be joining us pretty soon, but so basically that's where the name Chaos comes in. Chaos was the last boss. So the big The big twist for Final Fantasy 1 is that Chaos, the guy who was like behind everything, was really the first boss of the game. But after the first boss, he kind of put himself in a time loop. He got stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger and wanted to come out in revenge against you guys. And so you were fighting the first boss all along. So, and I thought for the time that happened, that was like, okay, that's like some really good narrative for a game that was released in the late 80s. You know, like, that's fine. Right. We have now seen that. It's like, okay, I'm going to piss off Lord of the Rings fans. Lord of the Rings is basic. Okay. I'm going to come out and just say it. Lord of the Rings is basic, but it was the first story. So you can't consider it really basic because it was the first. It set all the tropes. And so Final Fantasy I set all the tropes. So for Stranger of Paradise, Final Fantasy Origin, it looks like they never show the game in its entirety at E3. They're showing you like the first couple of hours, maybe first 4 hours of the game, right? The demo was released as well.
Is it out already? It just said coming soon.
Yeah, the demo came out broken.
Okay.
It was released broken, and they had to patch it. Okay, I'm going to take another drink. Here we go. I need water. The things I do for clout. Okay. All right. So, anyway, where am I going with this? So it looks like Final Fantasy Origins is just that first part from Final Fantasy 1.
Yep. And I think we have a panda on here now.
Panda Pat.
We do have a panda.
Yay.
Hey, what's up? How's it going?
Pretty good.
Time marker. You came in at about 9 minutes and 40 seconds. That's for Luke to edit.
Okay.
Hi, Luke. We're talking about Final Fantasy Origins. I want to put the video in the chat so you can watch it while I kind of give a history lesson.
What's happening?
But yeah, so in Final Fantasy One,
am I the only one that's recording
now? Tower is just a single room.
You walk through the room.
You fight Garland. So it looks like Stranger of Paradise is like at least what was shown in the E3 and what's playable in the demo is just that first portion of Final Fantasy One. There has been retellings of Final Fantasy One. There is the original Final Fantasy One. There was a mobile game with where the main character was a character named Wol, W-O-L, which is actually an acronym for Warrior of Light. It was a mobile game. Final Fantasy Record Keeper, which is another mobile game, has another retelling of Final Fantasy One. So Final Fantasy One is so basic, you can really take its core and just do anything you want with it. So it looks like they gave it the Final Fantasy VII and Final Fantasy XV, I guess, treatment.
Yeah, that's what it looked like. That was one of my comments to you as we were watching it.
Yeah. So here's the thing: Ninja Theory makes it. Ninja Theory, say what you want about their games. I think Ninja Theory is like is a really awesome studio that has so much potential to grow. They did the Devil May Cry remake, and that didn't really pan out super well, but it wasn't because of the mechanics or the combat system. They did that really, really well. They also did Metroid Other M, which yep. was also critically panned, but that was not necessarily their fault. They were taking an IP given to them. So it seems that whenever Ninja Theory, an American studio, is given a Japanese IP, they'll try to reinvent it however they want. And the mechanics behind the game, from what I understand, I haven't played those games, so correct me if I'm wrong, listeners. The mechanics are solid, but the game itself, because there are other IPs, people expect certain things, and it's just not delivered. So I'm wondering what's going to happen with this one.
Yeah, I played Other M. I made sure to play through it. And it felt a little different. It felt like Ninja Gaiden Metroid, which kind of made sense at the time, right?
How was Other M on its own roots? If you were to judge it apart from the rest of the Metroid series, but like as its own game, how was it?
I didn't hate it, but I don't remember loving it. It's a little bit forgettable, I guess, because I'm trying to remember, you know, when you go back to be like, hey, what did I do in that game? I thought the way they did the 2D to 3D was kind of interesting, if I remember right. Because that was the whole thing with that, right? You could do the side-scrolling, but then you had the 3D aspect for, like, shooting, if I remember right. You could do that.
Yeah.
So I mean, it probably took a little bit to get used to, but was interesting.
I think Ninja Theory has a really good chance of hitting this a home run. So I'm going to just come out right now. Like, it's fun to make fun of this trailer. I have not played the demo. I do not intend to play the demo. So it's really fun to make fun of this whole thing because it's just how ridiculous it is. The last time, I don't know, like, people didn't want this. Final Fantasy One is one of the most boring Final Fantasies. It's fun to play through for a history lesson. But when you put a guy who looks like a character from Final Fantasy 15, who just wears a t-shirt and pants, he's got a belt buckle, but his buddies are in armor, and he punches a dude in full-blown armor that's pulled straight from Final Fantasy Dissidia, which is the Final Fantasy combat fighting game. It just looks really odd. I took the numbers in a trailer. The trailer itself is like 2 minutes and like 30-something seconds, but the trailer itself after, like, because the final portion of the video, it gives you, like, you know, just walls of text, you know, made by, produced by, whatever. And so the actual trailer is 2 minutes and 18 seconds.
Stand by for technical difficulties.
gosh, I just killed the episode.
How did you kill it?
Well, my mouse is an MMORPG mouse. It has buttons on the side. It's got buttons all over it, and I'm 7 shots of tequila in. And I banged the mouse against my keyboard, and I killed the episodes somehow.
Luke, we apologize. You're going to have to somehow stitch these together. Good luck.
Well, okay, but you know what? Here's the funny thing. Like, the first recording is 14 minutes, and Panda Pat came in at 7 minutes. Like, that's going to be the hard one to edit together.
Yeah, it
Once
is.
Once he gets that 14 minutes figured out, this second recording, we all start at the same time. Yep. And what I'm looking at, I'm just like a second or two ahead, like, of the recording. So that's, like, the second one should be a little bit better to fix. So, sorry, Luke. I really fucked up on this. That's what happens when I get 7 shots of tequila. Well, actually, 1 shot was Bacardi rum. But the other ones were Quimador, Patron, and Casamigos. So I'm doing very well. Very well. Okay. Where was I? What was the last thing I said when the episode got out?
You were talking about the Final Fantasy 1 guy and him and Dissadia and something to do with his belt buckle.
Yeah, okay, so Garland's suit comes straight out of Final Fantasy, Dissadia, and it's a killer design. I like it. I like the over-the-topness, like the fantasy, a little bit further away from European fantasy. But the dude looks like he just takes his bare-knuckled fist. He's got a giant-ass sword on his back, but he wants to punch Garland in the face. Has anyone ever punched a suit of armor? Has anyone ever punched metal with their bare-bone knuckles? He had fingerless gloves, so I don't know if that's going to actually, like, protect him in any way. That's a dumbass move. It was so ridiculous. It's like you hear this overture of this woman's voice, and I am assuming that's Princess Sarah. And she says, Garland was a magnificent knight, but he had armor that was terrifying to behold. And then the main character is like, we're looking for chaos to kill him. And then Garland's like, oh, really? And he stands up, and for some reason, him standing up in a vertical pose made the other character just be like, oh, it's Garland. It's like, what did you expect? Oh, it's the last, I saw this quote. I'm going to use this quote from Polygon. Okay, they were just reviewing the trailer, and I posted some of these quotes. The last time Square Enix stepped on its own dick this hard was in 2014. Everyone wanted a Final Fantasy VII remaster, which wouldn't be announced for another year. And so they showed a trailer for the, like, not a remake, but it was like a port, a Final Fantasy VII port. They showed the trailer, like, relived in the classic adventure coming to PC and all mobile platforms and all current gen consoles. And everyone was like, you can hear them breathing so excitedly, and then they realize it's not a remake. They're just re-releasing the old game. It's already on Steam. What the hell? Oh, like, I was surprised the presenter survived. Because, like, that was a total misreading of the room. And I live for misreading of the room moments in E3. I just love them so much because you get these guys that do not know how to present anything, and they give us Final Fantasy Origins. It has the potential to be a great game. It really does. But I don't know. Panda Pat, what do you think about it?
I didn't ever actually play it, so.
Well, neither did I. Final Fantasy 1, you mean?
Yeah, Final Fantasy 1 I didn't play.
What do you think of the trailer? Have you seen the trailer?
I have not. You're doing a remake, is what I understand?
It's kind of up in the air. It looks like a remake. They're using the same name when they ported it to the PlayStation 1, which was Final Fantasy Origins.
Mm.
They're using the same name. Garland was this dude in a dark tower that was a single room in Final Fantasy One. And Garland has the same armor there, but he's being referred to as Chaos, which is another alias for Garland. So it looks like it could be like a retelling of Final Fantasy One.
Okay.
But let me, I think if you go to the chat, I posted,
I'm excited because, so the only like really Final Fantasy like stuff that I know, I don't know if I know, but is the reason why he named it Final Fantasy is because it was his last shot at trying to make a game because he had done a bunch before and he just had no luck. And so yes. Final Fantasy One would be the one that was finally the good enough one that, you know, took it off and started the whole series.
Yeah, Final Fantasy, like the name itself tells a story. And that's one of it's kind of like uplifting.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, it's my final attempt and it's a fantasy game. Here we go. We'll call it Final Fantasy. And it was amazing. And like I mentioned this before you jumped in. The story, though archaic, because it came out in the late 80s, it does have, I mean, it's narrative. There's only three narrative beats. And it's still pretty good for that time period. Now it doesn't really hold up. But when you think about, I compare it to Lord of the Rings, it was the first of its kind, right? That's kind of where this is coming in at. But that's not the game to do a remake of or even a retelling of.
Right.
I posted the video in the chat. So whenever you got like 2 minutes and 18 seconds, okay. Go ahead and check it out. They say Chaos. I think I'm not sure if I said this in the previous recording. They said Chaos 8 times, and in a 2 minute 18 second trailer, that means they said the word Chaos every 17.25 seconds.
That was one of my comments to you. I'm like, how many times did they say Chaos? You're like, I'm counting.
I know. it's just he's gotta kill Chaos. I will say that the combat does look engaging, but the story itself just looks like normal Nomura bullshit, which I think is partly the reason why I hate Final Fantasy VII Remake so much. But hey, if I hate Final Fantasy VII Remake and you listeners at home think I'm full of shit and you like it, then, and I'm saying, like, this looks just like Final Fantasy VII Remake, I think I'm going to hate it. You know, you may want to give it a shot, listeners. It may scratch that itch right between your shoulder blades that would, you know, be good. And I'm hoping that it is good because I, you know, as much as I think Final Fantasy has been faltering, this may be a good one. Jamie, I didn't ask for your opinion. What do you think?
I think you hit everything that I know. Like, you hit all my comments to you that I said to you as we were watching. I was like, looks like Final Fantasy VII Remake. They said Chaos a ton. I mean, it could be fun. I hope it is. I do like a good Final Fantasy game, you know. I need to go back and finish 7, though, and 15. Just they got away from me. And then before you know it, you're like, what was I doing? And then I need to restart. And I hate being at that point in the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so this is the only E3 news that I want to cover, unless you want to cover something, Captain Platinum of Panda Pat. Because we're going to do our E3 episode eventually.
Yeah, I haven't gotten a chance to watch any of the stuff yet, unfortunately. So I'm way behind.
No, don't worry. I'm sure a lot of people have. I mean, like, the news is already out there. I kind of mentioned this before, but we will have our E3 episode where we just kind of, like, discuss. We're not really announcing anything because our podcast being weekly doesn't really, like, it doesn't come on often enough to be considered news. So it's going to be more of us reacting to it. Do I have any more tequila? I have a little bit on that. There you go.
Yeah, I think I told you the only thing I thought was cool was, you know, you and I talked about what we were hoping for at E3 And I was really hoping for Metroid Prime 4 news.
Nope.
And they kind of said, no, like they mentioned it, but they said, hey, guess what? We got something else for you. And then they showed a new 2D Metroid game, which I was pretty excited for.
Yeah, that was cool. They showed an image of Bayonetta 3. They're like, it's still being worked on. Bamco didn't really announce a whole bunch from what I understand. We'll do our E3 episode later.
But yeah, that's so the other thing I need with Nintendo is they need to get their shit together with pre-orders, because they did them. It's called Metroid Dread. They showed the new amiibos. Like, the amiibos went up for pre-order, I think it was the next day.
You know how I feel about amiibos.
Yeah. Well, but then if you go look for them, you can't find them for pre-order. But luckily, mm-hmm. I was talking to someone at GameStop, and they said, no, come in. It's on the in-web pre-order. They're like, we can't get it shipped to the store, but you buy it through us, and we ship it to you. So
that
I was like,
weird.
Yeah, so it gets delivered to you. And then I guess there was a collector's edition that I didn't know about, and then that sold out pretty much instantaneously. And I just wish Nintendo would get that kind of stuff worked out earlier on and, like, announce it, because it just becomes painful. The Loftwing Amiibo was another, like, failed launch, and the Joy-Cons for Skyward Sword. So I think the 2D Metroids are fun. You know, those just take me back. I don't think everything has to be in 3D, you know, and I try not to watch, you know, chat when these things are going on, because people are so negative. Like, people are like, oh, look, another mobile Metroid game. Like, we want a console Metroid, not a mobile game Metroid. And I was like, what? What is wrong with you people? Enjoy Metroid. There's a reason there's a Metroidvania genre.
Mm-hmm. Very true. I'm excited for Metroid Dread. You know, Metroid Fusion was great. I hear they're going to bring elements from Metroid Fusion into it. Yeah, I'm excited for that. I can't wait.
Yeah, and it had the, like, stealth sneak away type thing, which looked kind of neat too, so.
Yeah, so did you play Fusion? Because Fusion's technically considered to be Metroid 4.
I believe was that on the Game Boy Advance?
It was. So Metroid Prime came out simultaneously with Metroid Fusion. And if you completed Metroid Fusion, and I forget, but there was a way to get your data onto the GameCube.
Yeah, they had the little...
You were able to give Samus the Metroid Fusion skin.
Yep. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, there was a little thing you could put on the bottom of the GameCube to put your your GBA discs in. Your cartridge. Yeah.
So, Fusion was technically Metroid 4, so this new Metroid Dread is considered to be Metroid 5. Which means she has got that weird parasite still within her. She can't get it out because her life depends on it. But I think it was confirmed that parasite's going to make kind of like a re-showing. And in Fusion, that there was an evil Dark Samus that was following her. That was actually those parasites kind of like put together and like copied her and took her Varia suit. And she, like, the game had like moments where you ran into it and you had to like hide from it. But it looks like they're bringing that back with like this weird android looking thing, which I like that mechanic. But it just wasn't as intimidating. It just looks kind of like a Star Wars Clone Wars droid to me. It didn't really look threatening. What was threatening was coming face to face with Samus, you know, and then like you throw a couple super missiles at it and it's not even phased and you're just like, shit, you gotta run. That was intimidating, but this weird looking Star Wars droid thing doesn't do it for me. But I'm excited to play it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it'll be fun.
I have never played any of the Metroid games.
I'm all about playing those types of games. So
I don't know. Oh, you're gone.
What about you, Panda Paz? Is there any news out there that you caught that was worth checking out?
I wonder.
Oh, she just fell offline. What happened?
Oh, there she is. She's back.
So every once in a while, like, when Mike's talking, he'll go away completely, and then every once in a while, you guys both go away completely, and only I can hear myself talking. It's showing that it's recording my voice.
I don't know. It's going to be a horrible episode for Luke to edit.
Yes.
Was there any news that you saw that jumped out to you?
No, not really. I'm just still waiting on more Gears. Well, they did announce another Sims game, and everybody's like super pissed because it's called Cottage Living, and so you have bunnies and cows and stuff, but everybody's like, we want horses, and I'm like, why the fuck do you want horses? So I'm excited about that, but of course it's brand new. I think it comes out on the 22nd, so a couple days away. And I always wait to purchase them. I don't know. I don't have any good information.
Okay. Okay. Cool. 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 I got some Dungeons and Dragons news.
Oh, yes. Sweet.
So a couple things happened to our Dungeons and Dragons listeners out there. I see you. couple of pieces of news. They're not really big because news were for D&D and table. So D&D specifically, news doesn't come out that often. But the tabletop genre comes up more often. So I may do more tabletop things, but for now I'll just stick to D&D. Wizards of the Coast had a survey that had went out this week, and I experienced problems with it, but apparently a lot of other people did too. I did not get an NDA. Other people did. So I don't know what that was for. There was a few questions in the survey that was very gatekeepy, in my opinion. It was like, you know, what type of dice do you roll for initiative? And it's just like, okay. Or another one that was really weird to me is, what is not a class for a character in Dungeons & Dragons? And it was like, fighter or barbarian or wanderer or wizard. And you're just like, you know, I have players that have been playing less than a year, and I helped create their characters, and they wouldn't be able to answer that stuff. So it was very gatekeepy to me. But I never got these videos. Some people did. Some people are claiming that this particular survey was out of whack, like it didn't work very well. But it looks like the survey had videos of an immersive tabletop program that's integrated specifically with the rules of 5th edition. And it looks like a video game, too. Some people in the survey didn't report getting a video. I never got a video. But as I look at screenshots of this thing, it really does look like a video game. Full-blown 3D immersive graphics, whereas like in Roll 20, it's okay. So for people who don't play Dungeons and Dragons or any tabletop RPG, especially online, so this is kind of niche, but when you want to play over a distance, there you have a couple of options. One of them is Roll 20, which is you have kind of like a grid on your screen, so it's 2D. And if you want to make a map out of it, you have to put like a picture behind the grid, and that allows people to move their tokens across a picture. And so you've got that. There's another program called Fantasy Grounds, which is more inclined for 5th edition D&D. There's a lot. There's a lot of different platforms that allow for Dungeons and Dragons or any other tabletop RPG to be played. But this looks like it's specifically for Dungeons and Dragons, and it looks like a video game. And it was measuring the interest for this tabletop program and having a subscription to it, which to me isn't that great of an idea. Maybe that's the reason why I didn't get the video, because the survey was able to predict that I would not be inclined for it. Because on all these other platforms, whatever one you subscribe to, like the cost of the content is just the same as the content if you were to buy it physically. So if Dungeons and Dragons, released a book, and this book was $50. I would need to spend $50 on the physical book. If I wanted to use the contents of this book on my platform of choice, Roll20, Fantasy Grounds, Tabletop Simulator, I would have to rebuy the book digitally that is formatted for that platform. That's another $50. And so this tabletop subscription was measuring the interest of a subscription cost for a fully immersive tabletop game. So if you wanted to play online, it would look very similar to an ARPG experience. And I never got that video. A lot of people don't report getting that video, but that's what the survey was for. It came out a few days ago, so that's a new piece of news. We may be getting like a D&D-sponsored official tabletop platform. For D&D people, that could be exciting. For me, it seems kind of redundant. Another piece of news that I got Baldur's Gate 3 is not coming out until next year. And that's about it. Yeah. So some Dungeons & Dragons. Oh, yeah, that was right. There was one other thing. Dungeons & Dragons is doing an official show. Wizards of the Coast is doing an official show, which is not Critical Role. Critical Role is technically not official. It's just the biggest show. But D&D is doing an official show, and Jack Black will be featured. Let me actually pull up the article. It was reported by Bleeding Cool. It's a celebrity Dungeons & Dragons game. The celebrities are going to be Jack Black, Reggie Watts, Lauren Lapkus, Kevin Smith, and Jason Mewes. And it will be led by Dungeon Master Kate Welsh. So it's going to be a full. For those of you who don't remember, there was a Pathfinder game that was very similar called Harmon Quest. It was done by Dan Harmon, who is the creator of Rick and Morty. So he did Pathfinder, and that was kind of like an exclusive show. They ended up animating it. And that was like a fun show. I saw a couple episodes of it. I thought it was great. But live tabletop plays are not my thing, so I didn't really stick with it. So this D&D Live, I mean, like Jack Black, that's huge to me. Kate Welsh, like Kevin Smith, these are big names. And so this is another huge marketing push from Wizards of the Coast to push D&D. What do you guys think?
That could be interesting. That's a nice cast to have together.
Don't say D&D. Mm-hmm. I have no input on this one either. I'm sorry.
Oh, man, that alcohol is hitting hard all of a sudden. Whoa.
Oh, you guys are gone again.
All of a sudden,
you guys disappear.
I'm excited. I don't think I'm going to watch it, though. It's not my thing.
Why is the internet being...
I love
people... on when they air it and what else is on. You know, maybe I'll give it an episode a try, you know, just to see what it looks like and what they got going for it.
It depends on how, like, what it takes to access it. Am I going to need a YouTube Live account? No, I'm not going to watch it. Is it going to be just straight uploaded to YouTube? Yeah, I'll probably watch it. It's not my thing. The most I do, when I play Final Fantasy XIV, I'll have something running on my second screen. That's it. Huh. Like, I don't really do this.
Well, that's some decent news, though. Should we get into what we've been playing?
Yeah, let's get into what we're playing. Who wants to start?
I have been playing Sims, obviously, because that's all I ever play. Well, that's all I played other games, too.
Sims is a comprehensive life simulator, and I have so much respect for the people that play the Sims. Can you guys tell the alcohol is hitting? I'm sorry.
My newest thing that I'm trying to do lately is I'm trying to build, like, my apartment and, like, my sister's house. And so I haven't been
How's your sister doing?
She's doing good.
What does she do in The Sims? What's her occupation?
Oh, I don't have her in The Sims. I'm building her real life house.
Oh, okay.
just because she has a really big house, and so I like building houses, or like buildings that I like spend a lot of time in, and I build them off of memory.
Nice.
That's what I'm doing. I don't have my sisters in my Sims game. I try not to put people in the Sims game that I know, because it makes it awkward if I like have relations with them and stuff.
Doesn't seem Bill weird. The last Sims game that I played, I put Hindu deities as characters in my family's, like Vishnu and like mythological figures.
You should see some of the custom content for those. People have made some gorgeous ones.
Really?
Yes.
I know that like the fan base for The Sims is one. It's scary. It's real scary. Like, it's intense. It's real intense.
Mm-hmm. It is.
And you're Sims 4 or Sims 3?
Sims 4.
Four, okay. You're a modder, right? You mod everything in it.
I don't mod anything. I download mods that other people do.
Okay, cool.
I don't actually do the coding or the work. Fuck that. That's a lot of unpaid and ungratifying work.
But some people get really dedicated with that shit.
Oh, they do. You can't legally sell any of like the custom content or mods that you do, but people find ways around it. And so they can make a little bit of money here and there on that, which is really nice for them. Because these people are fucking talented. It's amazing the stuff that they can do.
So what are some mods that you use?
Okay, so the mods are like actually changing the gameplay.
But before you actually continue, we do not endorse the illegal modification of any gameplay or of any games. Push my buttons cannot be held accountable for any legal action. But anyway, what mods do you use?
So they have like mods in there that are a little more like they make it a little more realistic. So obviously the sex mods that I always talk about. it's called Wicked Whims, and basically what it will do is it will allow you to download the custom content, so you have specific nude types, better looking skin, better looking genitals, things like that. Which those ones you can like really deep dive into it, and then you're just watching porn and it's just ridiculous. but some of the other ones that I really like is they did a whole, before they did the witches in one of the game packs, which I don't really care for because the mod for it, someone modded it. They added witches, fairies, mermaids. I think that was it. There's also a werewolf one, but when I worked that one, it was broken and everybody in my house turned into a werewolf. But yeah, so there was all of that you're able to mod, and it gave you the option to like murder people with spells and stuff like that. It gives you the option to like, as a fairy, you can like bless your garden and grow stuff like really quickly and stuff. And the mermaid one was fun because anytime she would get into water, she would turn into a mermaid, and then she gets out of water and she's no longer a mermaid. But I made them all like, I got all this custom content to like change the colors of their skin and make them like look very fantasy style, I guess. So like my fairy I made pink. But yeah, they ended up releasing witches and mermaids. I don't like them as much, but custom content's really nice because these people, they just make everything look so much more realistic and gorgeous and stuff. Those are most of the ones I've done. I haven't really, it's supposed to be like a real life mod. So like, but it's like tragedy style. So like your Sim can get kidnapped and ransomed. Or they can die of like breast cancer, things like that.
That That's so sad.
Yeah, it's like, and a lot of the time these people that will do this, and then they will just base whole storylines off of it. So they'll, you know, they'll make a happy family, and then this mod that they have will, you know, cause the wife to get sick, or cause the,
oh my gosh,
she can have miscarriages, or
oh, it's horrible.
They can you know, step out of the marriage, and it really changes the emotional part of the Sims, because they just, like, when you cheat on your Sim now with no mods, basically your Sim is just mad, and they lose love for you, but you can build that love back up without any like detrimental things that continue. Like, after it happens, they go through their sad phase, and that's it. They don't have problems anymore. And that was something that they did in Sims 2 and 3, where, like, life events affected them throughout the rest of their life. So they don't.
I mean, that's very close to, like, original life.
Yeah.
But God, how depressing. Here's a mod that's going to make you sad.
Some of the Wicked Whims mods, they have drug mods and stuff. Like,
oh my, what?
You can become a drug dealer. You can become a stripper. You have to download all the custom content separately. So, like, your stripper pole, or your, I guess the drug mod probably includes most of the custom content. So you buy from the buy area in buy mode, you buy bags of cocaine, and then you have to split those bags of cocaine and go sell them to people, and then people will get addicted, and they'll want
more cocaine. My god.
they're pretty intense. It gets pretty deep, and with as many updates as Sims usually does, it will break the mod, so it's kind of a pain, because you have to re-download it as soon as the mod fixes them every time.
There's no executable that will completely go through all your mods and re-update it. Yeah, that's something there, you have to do.
There's a guy who developed a mod that would go through your mods and test them all and point out the ones which were broken, so you knew which ones to delete and re-download. But no, there's not. As far as I know, I've never found one.
Yeah, I used to do that for Stardew Valley. I downloaded a ton of mods for Stardew Valley. And then I stopped playing it for like a month or two, and I wanted to go back to it. Specifically, there is a mod called the Stardew Valley Expanded. And it's like a really amazing mod. I would totally recommend it. The problem is that I had a ton of other mods on top of that too. So when the game updated, it broke a lot of those mods. And all those mods need to be updated or deleted and re-downloaded. And I'm just like, you know what? I'm just going to have to do a clean install and a new file, because there's no way.
Oh, yeah. I usually would just dump everything and start over.
Yeah. Like, there's no way I can continue playing with all. Like, because when you do mods, you have to have some sort of computer savvy in the background to know, like, what files to actually replace. There are some mods out there that are like, go into this folder address and then delete this file and replace it with this file. Like, you have to do some actual file maintenance. And I can't believe that, like, a person that modifies The Sims, that sounds like a lot of work.
It is. Well, I mean,
it's not on Nexus Mods or anything, is it? Like, it's on its own, like, website, because The Sims has a different code.
Yeah, I mean, there's specific websites that you go to, like the Wicked Whims has its own website.
Jeez.
And honestly, like, Sims doesn't necessarily endorse all the mods, but they try to promote, creative players who do build this kind of stuff, because some of this stuff, like, they'll straight up be like, yeah, this totally makes the game better, we're gonna add it in.
So. Well, that's good. I mean, especially since it's from, like, E3. Not E3. What the hell am I talking about? EA.
EA, yeah.
Yeah, like, coming from EA, that says a lot. Well, so Sims.
Sims. And, obviously, I'm still playing the Resident Evil games.
Oh, yeah? Which one are you on?
I'm still on Origin.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm still at the beginning. But like I said, it's just like the book. So I'm like, I know when to expect the chimera. Mm-hmm. So I'm not so scared.
Nice, nice.
It's just nerve-wracking. I love scary games, but I have terrible, terrible nightmares, so.
I love scary games. What about you, Captain Platinum? What are you up to?
Oh, what have I finished Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart. So
how was that? I hear great things about it.
I enjoyed it a lot. I did find a couple glitches. I did get a corrupted save file, but I was able to recover, so I was happy about that. It happened on stream, and I was like, it just crapped out. And I was like, but I just restarted back up, and I was able to pull the file off the PC or the PS5. And I was able to recover it, so I didn't have to start over, you know, and that was about, gosh, I want to say about 10 to 12 hours in. So, mm-hmm. I like the graphics are phenomenal. The weapons were fun. The thing that surprised me, there's no skill points, unless they're going to add them later. That's always been like a staple in Ratchet and Clank, is they had skill points.
It's been so long since I played a Ratchet and Clank game, I don't remember anymore.
Yeah, it was just hidden things they would put in there, like to do, like on this planet you have to do this thing or find this hidden area or something, and you'd get a skill point. And that's kind of how you got the unlocks. This one they tied them to the gold bolt, and it glitched out on me too. I can't get one gold bolt. It says 99%, so I'm hoping on challenge mode I could go back and do it. But for now, I'm just gonna take a break from it. So they did add challenge mode. So that's nice. Just there's no trophies for it. I've already got the platinum. So it's like Spider-Man, Miles Morales, and the other Spider-Man. They made it pretty straightforward and easy to get the platinum trophy, which I'm a fan of, but then you didn't have me do everything. So then it's kind of weird to say you got a platinum in a game, if that makes sense.
I have said when we did our episode with Lucy, which I hope she's still listening. Yep. Lucy, you're awesome. I don't understand the platinum mentality or the achievement mentality. But I guess I could sympathize.
Yeah. I don't know if I'm looking for sympathy. It's just like random to me, right? A lot of games, it's like beat it on hard. And sometimes I'm like, oh, that sucks. But usually I feel like you should almost have to complete the game to get it. Like, find all the collectibles. Yeah, you don't have to get all the Omega weapons. To get Platinum, though, I did have to start challenge mode and get to the vendor to buy the last weapon. And that was the last trophy to ping. I did everything else on the first playthrough. So,
nice.
I enjoyed it. It was fun. I thought they did a good job. I like that they do have you switch between Rivet and Ratchet, but all the weapons carry over. So everything that one had, they both had. So that was a nice thing they put in there. Mm-hmm. It could be a lot more tedious if you didn't have everything between the both of them.
Or even if you had like different weapon sets, you know, like that could have been just a bit much. And Devil May Cry 5, as much as I like the fact that you had three characters, the three characters leveled up and got new abilities independent of each of one another. And that got to be a little bit overwhelming for me.
Yeah.
But in between Ratchet and Rivet, I would assume that sharing weapon pools and everything, like you're essentially leveling up one character and it's just a different skin.
Yep.
So that's nice.
Yeah. Yeah, so all of those was streamed on Twitch. I'm sure Luke will get those over on YouTube when he has a minute. I haven't looked to see if he's started uploading them or not. Other than that, that's been most of my week. It was playing through that. So I had a friend platinum it over the weekend, though. I was like, holy cow, he just tore through it.
Nice.
Several people were telling me it's like a 3-hour game, and I was like, I think if you skip cutscenes, know everything what to do, you might be able to plow through it in 6 to 8 hours. But still, I mean, I think I probably hit 16. I didn't look on the PS5 to see how many hours I had fully hit. I think it was a great addition to the franchise, and I look forward to another one hopefully sometime, you know?
Yeah, I hope so too.
And then I'm just wondering if they may. Did you play the first Spider-Man game by Insomniac?
No, I haven't.
So what they did with that one was they added an additional trophy set to it. So it shows you got platinum, but then they added like two extra trophies, and it's like new game plus and like hardest difficulty. I wonder if they would do something like that for this, but I wanted to get my platinum while, you know, the trophy set is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
So I could see them maybe doing something like that, adding on additional trophies for get all the Omega weapons and complete the challenge arena on hardest difficulty or something. I don't know, but yeah, overall, it was a great game. Insomniac, you know, it had the Ratchet and Clank feel to it for me, and you know, I had a few chuckles, and it was just fun. So yeah, that's I was glad wonderful. I played it. Yeah, it was a nice game to get me back into like some good gaming. Now I'm looking at. I asked you and a few guys in my Discord server about what game next, and I think I'm going to do Horizon Zero Dawn to prep for Forbidden West. That way, I'm ready to go with that.
Horizon Zero Dawn was a gem.
I've heard it's so good. I just haven't had the time, and now I'm like, you know what? Maybe I'll make the time now.
I started it, and I really liked it. I wasn't used to the whole idea of stealth, though. Like, I can do stealth. I have to just be in the mood for it. But otherwise, it's freaking gorgeous. And you know, when it came out, I really wanted that special edition one that came with the Aloy statue. Didn't get it. And it's still going for like $400.
I really like Aloy as a character.
Yeah.
I have kind of a... So, like, there's a difference between, like, just female characters and, like, actual, like, women characters, you know? And Aloy is in that category of like, she's real. I believe her. And I saw some discourse online about like, well, she isn't sexy enough. Like I saw that and I was just like, what the hell kind of a comment is that? like, that's bullshit. She is so good. And I don't care if she doesn't fit your definition of sexy. She's awesome. I think she's a great character. You know, Horizon Zero Dawn is so damn good. I
like her as a character a lot, but I don't find her sexy only for the fact that I see her as a child.
Really?
Like, she just seems very young to me.
Well, that's interesting. I didn't see her that way.
She's an attractive character, don't get me wrong, but I don't know, maybe it's just because I didn't get through all of it. I only did the beginning part.
That would make sense.
Being like, you know, she's like 17 or something, I feel like. Yeah.
And she's not in the Sims game, so Pat doesn't like that.
I don't remember how old she actually was. I kind of, yeah, that's something I want to eventually replay the game, but I'll pay
attention. She probably is older in the second game, and I'll probably feel differently about it then, but.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, other than that, just still playing Pokemon Let's Go Eevee. I'm now in, it's Silphco. I'm at the.
Nice.
So, yeah, I'm like 15 hours in, I think is what my timer is. So, I just, you know, pick it up and play here and there. You know, focus more on Ratchet and Clank. So,
that's where I'm at, but I am not 15 hours in. I'm just kind of to the point with Pokemon, I guess. I don't know. I have a little bit of hard time with the Let's Go's because I'm so used to the way I played Pokemon. And that's not the way I play Pokemon. Like,
right.
Pokemon to gain experience doesn't make sense to me.
Yep, I agree. Yeah, it throws me off. Yeah, I actually had like a really hard battle finally against Blue, and I was like, ooh, I don't know if my Pokemon are going to make it through, but I've almost got my Charizard. One more level, and I'll have Charizard ready to go. So, other than that, yeah, I mean, I did the fighting dudes, so I got my Hitmonchan. So, yeah, it's just been, you know, grabbing a few things there. So, and then in Swoga, Jedi Master Kenobi entered the game. Was that yesterday? 2 days ago. It was Wednesday. He looks super OP, and yeah, I won't have him for a while. I've almost got Jedi Master Luke finally. So it's Luke from Episode 8. So I'm down to 3 characters left to relic up, and then I can farm him, and then I'm probably gonna head towards Kenobi. So. But yeah, so we've got our next Galactic Legend finally released in the game. So, it's been fun. Just, it's cool to see people getting him. One guy in my guild's already got him. I'm like, oh my goodness. These people that spend money. But yeah, that's really what I've been playing. What have you been playing, Dungeon Master?
So, my game schedule has been extremely simplified. I have some games that are on pause and some games that will pick back up. So just as a reminder, some games that are on pause right now are Fire Emblem Three Houses and Legend of Heroes Trials of the Sky. Those are currently on pause. I intend to pick them back up. But right now, my games that I've been playing are Final Fantasy XIV, which is really difficult to talk about as an MMO. I'm in the Stormblood expansion. I said the same exact thing last week. If you know what that means, great. But as it's, I'm just kind of like in the middle of this entire story of Final Fantasy XIV. And I looked at my Steam hour count, and I'm like 350 hours in. So that's, I'm like halfway through it. A lot of that time is just me kind of deeking around. But my brother, who is playing with me, he is at the end of the Stormblood campaign. And he's got like 1,000 hours logged. So I'm going significantly faster than him. And there are other people that can really speed through that game, even though it's an MMO. But yeah, so I'm playing Final Fantasy XIV. The other game that I put a lot of time into is Guilty Gear Strive, which is Bamco's new fighter. But Guilty Gear has been a staple for Bamco, not necessarily Bamco, but Arc Systems since 1998, 1999. I have not played the story. I have just been playing multiplayer. I haven't done the story yet because I want to get caught up. And apparently a lot of people are starting with Guilty Gear Strive. And it's one of those games where the story is going to be so intense. You literally have to dedicate 5 hours of your time to looking up YouTube videos to decipher the whole storyline. It's an anime fighter, and so it's got an anime storyline. You got different timelines. You got a ton of shit, and it's that's complicated. So I'm still trying to like decipher it and figure it out. But I've been playing multiplayer for Guilty Gear, and though I consider myself above average, wow, I need to take pre-workout to play this game properly, like. You have half a second of a decision to like be, do I want to make this move or do I want to make this move or do I want to do this tactic because I'm going up against this character? How has this player been playing for the 2 rounds that we've been in combat? Do I expect them to do a long range, a short range? Are they just going to block? How are they going to block? This character is now attacking me. Do I block high? Do I block low? If I do the anti-air attack, my character is invincible from this many like pixels up. This gives me a certain amount of frames of invincibility. Maybe I should do roaming cancel and burst forward and freeze them for a quarter of a second so I can continue my combos. Looks like I need to do a psych burst. Like, and then by the time you think of all this shit, the guy's already got like a combo of 10 hits on you and you're getting ready to get pummeled. It's such an intense game. I don't even really know how to explain it. It's I haven't even started the story. And multiplayer is one of the most stressful yet fulfilling modes to play. I cannot wait to go to conventions and play this in tournaments. It's definitely the most involved game that Arc Systems has produced. The last game of theirs that I played was Grandia Blue Versus, which is another fighting game. That game didn't really hook me, but I did. But their other game that I love is Dragon Ball FighterZ, and I can already say full-heartedly that Guilty Gear Strive is a superior game to Dragon Ball FighterZ, even though I love Dragon Ball FighterZ. Guilty Gear Strive is so much more technical. There's so many beautiful images and frames that pass by. And so involved, you can only really focus on one character. Otherwise, you get lost in the technicalities and the techniques and the mechanics of the game. Like, it's very involved. Your character's own skill list, you have like 7 to 10 different character-specific skills. But the way how the game works, and you look about frame invincibility, and you look at just... Oh, it is involved. I mean, I need to stop because I can keep on going. Like, this game is crazy. And I haven't even started on the story. This game is intense for a fighting game. It's definitely, I would consider it the fighting game of the year. Those are the only two games I played. I even stopped Mass Effect Legendary Edition because I have put 25 hours into this game. And it's been released for less than a week. So...
Wow.
Yeah. At that, those are the two games that I've been playing. Final Fantasy XIV, Guilty Gear Strive.
Nice. I have another friend that plays Final Fantasy XIV, and he's put hours, like hundreds and hundreds of hours into it.
I talked my ex into turning mine back on, and I haven't played it since.
If you turn it back on, you have to join my server.
I don't know how to switch servers when I only have one character.
You pay for a server change.
Okay. I will pay for my other characters, and I'll make one of them be on your server.
Cool.
I don't know. Awesome. I got to get in the mood to play it, though. I haven't been in the mood.
But once you play it, it's one of those games where it's just like, oh, I'm not in the mood to play it. But then once you do turn it on, you're like, oh, I can breathe.
Every time I get on it, I'm like, crafting time. And then fill up my inventory and I'm fucking crafting for 2 weeks and then I stop.
That is that game. That's crazy. Well, I'm all out of news from like my personal like video game life and news online. Does anyone else have anything on, or should we start logging off?
I'm done.
I think I'm done too, man. It's been a fun little episode, fun chat.
Yeah, it has been. Sorry that you're going to be listening to 14 minutes and 42 seconds, and then all of a sudden you hear me just crying because I cut the episode off short. But yeah, Captain Platinum, why don't you sign us off?
All right. Well, we will catch you guys next week. So during the next week, everybody, game harder.
The tequila made me do it.
Have a good one, guys.
Thank you, everybody. Now I just have to find my mouse cursor and turn off the episode.
Hello, I'm the podcaster without fear, Luke.
I'm the uncanny Ryan.
I am Kylie the Poodinger.
I am the superior Caitlin.
And I am the agitated Kyle.
And we are most of the Nerd Dome Podcast.
Every Friday, some variation of this group gets together and talks about all things nerd.
The newest stuff in TV, movies, comics, video games, and more.
So join us in the Dome every Friday to hear all things nerd.
From a bunch of people who are probably a bit too into it.
This show is part of the Geek Nerd Network.
Geek Nerd Network.
Find more shows like it at geeknerdnetwork.com.
This is Jen.